I'd like you to open in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. In reading this week, Philip Ryken, in one of his books, has reminded me of how much fun it is to name children. Did you have fun naming your children? Did you get any fights, different parts of the family fighting over it? We enjoyed it. We named our children at least in 3 out of 4. We named them with specific meaning behind their name. I remember we named one something, and then as they carted him away after birth, we hollered after them, no, change it to something else. We named one of our children not because it meant anything. We just liked the way it sounded, didn't think anybody else was using that name. They go to kindergarten. There are 7 others of that name in their kindergarten. You know how that works. But you know, as a nation, we think less about the names of our children and the names of our people than most nations do. In most cultures, particularly ancient cultures, the name was so important. And if you look in the scripture, it is clear that the name of Jesus and the name of God is an important thing. Nobody names God. I named my children, and if I could admit how much fun it was, part of it was I have a living new being and I'm naming it. It was a little bit of a power rush for Dad and Mom. But there's nobody naming God. God in Exodus chapter 3, when he appears before Moses, he says, I am who I am. I am who I am. How's that for a name? Almost sounds like a Dr. Seuss name to somebody who doesn't know anything about God. But it is because God is the one who names himself. And he doesn't allow his name to be even understood or known. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he kept asking him his name. And that angel of the Lord, I believe, was the pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus himself. And that name was not going to be released, because that name was precious. Until you believed it was precious too, you couldn't even know the name. If my life is to be shaped by Scripture, it seems to me that I need to recover a little bit of the importance of the name. I just don't think of it that way. Sometimes we think, well, here we're in the Ten Commandments. Maybe it's because we're just New Testament people. But look at the New Testament. Did you hear what Greg read earlier? The name of Jesus. Under no other name might we be saved. The name. I think I need to recover that concept in my mind. After all, it is in the Big Ten, is it not? The name. Here's the place to start, Exodus chapter 20. Hear God's word. I'll read the previous commandments, but also pick up on this third commandment that we cover today in our series in obedience to God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. One thing we need to remember, and whole concept, as we divide just this 7 verse, it's easy to divide into 3 parts. This outline is something that it would be easy to acquire from anybody. What does it say? Well, first of all, it says that we ought not to forget the importance of God's name. We ought not to forget the importance of God's name. In verse 7 of chapter 20, of course, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And he uses the word Lord. And here it is, that tetramagron. And I always mispronounce it and just did it again. It is that Hebrew phrase, that Hebrew lettering that comes from the I Am that he said in Exodus 3. It is a special name of God. We pronounce it Yahweh. It implies his self-existence, his sovereignty, his freedom, his covenantal relationship. It is his personal name that he gives only to his people. It is Lord, translated in our versions. It is Yahweh, the quintessential, the climactic name of God. And he pronounces it, he gives it to us. But not just the name of the Lord. It says your personal, as we mentioned before back in Exodus 20 verse 2, the personal God. This is the word Elohim. Many of you know these Hebrew words that implies the God of power. And it says we should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now this concept of name is something that is somewhat foreign to our audience. We don't quite understand always what it means about this name business. But it is, if you're grammarians, and I am not, one of my subjects I didn't do too well in high school, it is a synecdoche. And you know what a synecdoche is? It is one part for the whole. For instance, I saw a lot of new faces in church today. That illustration given by one of our commentaries, that's a synecdoche. I would imagine the face was connected to the rest of the body. Wouldn't that be odd, kids, if I said there would be a lot of new faces in the church and you could just close your eyes and see faces floating around in the air? No, it's a synecdoche. It's a part connected to the whole. So that God has said, what I will be represented by is my name. Now remember, last week we talked about worship in the Christian church not being something that's physically oriented. There aren't images, there aren't statues, there aren't symbols. Even the building is relatively unnecessary. That in the Old Testament we are introduced to worship by the Word. And he's doing the same thing right here. He will be represented, not by an idol. He will be represented not by anything, a statue, no sort of museum piece. He will be represented by his name. And both in the Old and New Testament, when we think of the name of God and the name of Jesus, and if any of you have any doubts about the deity of Jesus, that he is the second person of the Godhead, it is that phraseology in the name of Jesus, which would be to the Hebrew mind startling because it puts him even in the phraseology on par with God the Father. But this concept of name means his reputation, his identity, the rights that he deserves, and his deeds. When we say his name, it represents more than just a few letters. It represents who he is, what he has, and what he's done. And when someone uses the name, particularly the name that God has given to his people, it implies a connection and it implies the position of servant to master. And so when we look at the Bible, we don't have to look very far to see how this is used. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's how majestic's your reputation, your identity, your rights, all the things you've done. That's what it means. It's all wrapped up into one. But the way that God wants us to see it is with the words of his name. When we pray in Jesus' name in the New Testament, it's an earthquake to the Hebrews. Praying in a name other than Yahweh? Well, if he is indeed the second person of the Godhead, how precious and how important in this is the name of Jesus. We go to all the nations and we teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No statues, not even our glorious buildings, not even a cross represents the true God, though all those things may be convenient and helpful, but represents our God, our words. And the words here is the precious name of God himself. Don't forget the importance of God's name. The second thing I want to tell you is don't forget His name requires a right response. Back in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You don't do something. My, isn't this negative? I would imagine some educators would get angry at us. What a negative set of rules these are. It's God's rules. He created us. He knows us. He knows we need the positives, but He also knows we need the negatives. And the negative here is don't take it in vain. I wasn't ever really sure what that meant as a youngster. Oh, I knew it meant that I wasn't supposed to cuss. Well, that's the basic principle. But I also didn't understand what it meant to take in vain. One commentator says, literally the Hebrew says, we don't lift up His name for nothingness. You see that? I like that term. We don't lift up His name for nothingness. At the very least, the common use of the word God, as we do it in parlance and even in swearing, of course, it tosses that out. But there's more to it, I think. To use the name of the Lord in vain is not to use the name. God encourages us to use the name. It's not using the name. But it is to use the name properly in its proper context. It is the writer Gary North who says it this way. Listen to this unusual take. One way for a modern American to begin to understand this commandment is to treat God's name as trademarked property. In order to gain widespread distribution for His copyrighted repair manual, the Bible, and also to capture greater market share for His authorized franchise, the church, God has graciously licensed the use of His name to anyone who will use it according to His written instructions. It needs to be understood, however, that God's name has not been released into the public domain. God retains legal control over His name and threatens serious penalties against the unauthorized misuse of this supremely valuable property. All trademark violations will be prosecuted to the full limits of the law. The prosecutor, judge, jury, and enforcer is God. That kind of puts it in a different light. That is, the words that God has chosen as the most precious words that He has given us, being people who are word people, is His very name. So how do we do it? How do we misuse it? How do we use it improperly? Well, we often make the wrong connection to His name. Theologians say that false prophecy, heresy, weak theology, claiming it to be from God, if you don't know what all that is, watch some of the television evangelists on TV sometime, claiming the name of God, barking out orders in the name of God with their weak theology that is not from the Bible. It is inappropriate. But not only is it television evangelists, though I even hesitate to do this because denominations are all around us, the story that comes from Baptist Al Mohler is one that probably needs to be read. In the 2006 General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in the USA, they received a report on the Trinity in which the denomination and its churches were encouraged to adopt new triads for worship rather than the regular old Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now they recommended new trinities. New trinities. Here's one. Overflowing font, living water, and flowing river. Doesn't that sound powerful? Fire that consumes, sword that divides, and storm that melts mountains. A new trinity. Many triads were suggested, including this one. Compassionate mother, beloved child, and life-giving womb. That is the violation of at least two of the commandments that we have begun so far. Indeed, We use God's name and then change God's name at our own risk. The wrong connection leads to the wrong use. False oaths, cussing. Yes, there's the old cussing. That's the one that I always remembered. The one that starts with G and ends with D. Sometimes when you're in grade school, we just went ahead and said the letters like that was better. But cussing, using God's name and cursing either other, oh, we don't even have to say that, do we? Do we even have to even discuss that? And sometimes, though, it is even worse than that. False oath is using God's name to get your stuff. Oh, watch that Trinity Broadcasting. No, don't. Let me just give it to you. You've got people like Kenneth Copeland on the television set and all these types of people who say if you just use the name of Jesus, you'll get rich, you'll get what you want, you'll get a better car, you'll never be sick. That's a violation of the third commandment because it's the wrong use of the name. The great Puritan Thomas Watson once said, so many people who use the name of God have the right name on their lips, but they've got the devil in their hearts. Not only the wrong use and the wrong connection, but the wrong handling of the name. The wrong handling of God's reputation, of His works, of who He is. It's not just cussing, it's being trite with the things of God. As our brother has already told us in the reading of Acts chapter 4, it's a trivialization of things that are of monumental importance. It is profane worship. It is coming into the worship of God and treating it like it's a club meeting of some sort. We talked last week about the casualness of worship, even within our own denomination. And of course, I'm saying again, doesn't talk about how we are dressing. It talks merely about our hearts and our souls. Here's the point. Some things are sacred. Some things are sacred. How would you like it if somebody took the favorite thing that you had, took your stuff and used it? I had one of my relatives living with me one time, and I had a knife, and it was a special knife. It was a knife my father had given me. And if you're a Southern gentleman, you know sometimes those knives are passed down from fathers to son. And a Southern gentleman has that knife available to use it in proper ways, at least in the old days. My father had passed that knife down to me, and one of my boarders in my home, somebody who was staying with me, said, "Hey, I need a knife somewhere." Graciously, wasn't I gracious, offered him my father's knife. About a month later, I realized I couldn't find that knife anywhere, and then I finally did found it out in the yard. After a month in the state of Florida, it didn't look very good at all. And it was just a knife. I probably could have replaced it for a couple of bucks, but I started to realize that it just inflamed me. It just made me angry. It wasn't just a knife. It was what God had given me through my father. It's like somebody would take your favorite baseball bat and go rob a bank with it. It's the misuse of things that are precious to you. And in Christianity, though we think that many of the things that we have around us are sacred, and I would never stop saying that the place where people worship is not sacred. The things that you have done in certain places that are special are sacred. But most of all, in Christianity, words are sacred. Words are sacred. Sometimes that's hard for me to grasp. It's hard for me to put my finger on. And sometimes I think it's somewhat foreign to me. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Haven't we all both said that and heard that? Oh, fleeting words. We all say things. Oh, we all just say things. And sometimes we say things wrong and we just say, oh, that's just the way I am. Well, it is just the way we are. And it's the way I am. What we say is frequently wrong, and what we say is frequently out of place. In fact, this is not the only commandment that's going to talk about the way we say things and what we say. If it's in the Big Ten twice, it must be pretty important, this word business. And so that leads me to the third point I want to share with you. We should never forget that God takes this seriously. Now, I've got to stop and be stunned for a few moments with you once again. Look at verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then it adds something. Not just a commandment, not just the you shall not steal or you shall not bear false witness. But notice it adds something. The Lord will not hold him guiltless. Stops me in my tracks. Makes me realize that I haven't really been as careful about this incredible gift that almost defines who I am. The words that I say. God says, I won't hold you guiltless. I mean, the world might just do it. The world might do it all around you every day. There might be cursing. There might be the use of the name. You go down the hallway of any school, and just stand against the lockers, and you will hear that wonderful phrase, oh my. And by the time it gets that far, it just crushes me. I don't know. Sometimes we finish it a little differently. Oh my stars. Well, good. Finish it differently. But the very beginning around the world every day, it's stuffed in our face. The use of the precious name of God. We ought to take it seriously because God takes it seriously. Have you heard the phrase, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff? Let me just tell you from God's perspective, don't sweat the small stuff, but it ain't all small stuff. This is one of the big 10. It's not small. Thomas Watson talks about somebody who would say, if I'm constantly using the name of God in a trivial way, or if I don't think of the importance of His name, if I don't focus on the greatness and grandeur and the preciousness of the name, it's just a habit. And here's Thomas Watson writing in the 1600s. He says, well, you could equally say for the sixth commandment, I've just gotten the habit of killing people. Oh, don't bother me. It's just a habit. I've gotten the habit, seventh commandment, of committing adultery. Now, it's just the way I am. It's a habit that needs to be stopped. But let's put a positive moment to it. Let's not just say that we just don't bandy the name of God around. Let's not just say that we got to watch our theology and quit giving credit to God things that aren't really God. And let's not just say that we've got to watch out for when any time the name of God is mentioned that we ought to focus and we've got to stop being so trivial. But let's be positive and say this is what we must do. We must honor the name of God. Let me read for you some scriptures. Acts chapter 19. Luke was talking about the progress of the gospel. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. That word was in our hymn a little bit earlier on. I don't use it very often. I don't often say, well, I was extolling my favorite college football team for doing so well. Well, I use the term honor myself, but I'd like to insert that word into our vocabulary. Extol, honor, hold preciously the name of Jesus, the name of God the Father, because it represents His identity, His reputation, His rights, and all His deeds. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. And of course, what's the most important thing we can do about the name? Call upon the name. Acts 4:12 was read earlier. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The reputation, the identity, the rights, and the work of Jesus, the name, will be saved. And we ought to always remember Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him, that is Jesus, the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Honor the name. Yes, it's just words, but God has made us to be a people of words. Now think of the low times that you've had in your life. Think of the times where you've been in crisis. Yes, things happen to you, but when your interaction with other people has been at its worst, can you not look back and see that there were words involved? When people have hurt you, weren't words involved? When someone attacked you, were words involved? I keep a file of letters where words were used, both to the positive and negative, that I will never forget. It's a relatively thick file. It's some got some Christmas cards where my children wrote special words to me. And it's also got some nasty things in there too. I once said to somebody, if you see me taken out sometime, don't do like they do on TV and suspect my wife. She didn't do it. Look in the file. Look in the file. There's a guy from Florida I still think is looking for me today. But what about it? It's words. And we ought to honor the name of God and be careful about the way in which we speak of Him. And remember, another positive thing to do, not just honor the name and be careful about words, but remember the sacred. Remember the sacredness of the very name of God. I know we do put at the end of our prayers in the name of Jesus, and we frequently say, let's do it, even though we could be accused of rote or ritual or doing something we don't think about. Don't stop it. Just think about it. Because we wouldn't be able to pray unless it was the reputation, the identity, the rights, and the work of Jesus Himself. And in the hallways of our schools, and when we sit around and talk at the lunch hour, when someone mentions the name of God, it shouldn't be because of the size of the sandwich we were just given by the waitress. But it should bring us to a moment of hush. Whenever we hear or whenever we mention the name of God with our friends, it should almost be in terms of that holy hush that we spoke of. You know, I know that I do from time to time mention things that show you my age, but young people, there used to be a commercial on television that was really one of the most famous commercials of all time. I think it made several top 10 lists over the history of television. It was from a stockbroker called E.F. Hutton. Are you old enough to remember those E.F. Hutton? Oh yeah, that's it. I've already people saying. Because when people would be talking, you'd hear them talking and they'd be buzzing, and then suddenly someone was talking in conversation and he said, and E.F. Hutton says, being a stockbroker, and then suddenly everybody would stop. And people would all turn and cup their hands to their ear to listen. Don't you want the name of God to be like that? To where when conversations, when His name is brought up, the people at the table next to you in the restaurant want to hear something good about God. Not as terminology to send curses to someone else that God has made, but the name. I talk about it frequently, but the reaction to things such as worship and the name of God should be much like in Matthew 28 when the women went to the empty tomb and they saw an angel, and the angel said, don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where He laid. Then go quickly, tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead, and behold, He's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see Him. See, I've told you. at Easter, we get all excited about that verse. I love that section. Don't you love it? Put yourself in the picture of the women, angel, glowing in raiment. See, I've told you, go. And the girls would say, well, I just don't have a car right now. I've walked all the way down here. I feel terrible. I don't want to do it. That's what I'd probably say. No, what do? So they departed quickly from the tomb. And here's my phrase, with fear and great joy. May the name of Jesus always stop us and give us a sense of the fear and great joy. There are some of you here today who don't know much about that name because you just hear it bandied about. It's not really precious to you. It's not sacred to you because nothing really has ever happened in your soul to make it sacred for you. There are sacred things in this world, the name of God, but your soul is also sacred. God has created you. He has created you to be in fellowship with Him, and you are not in fellowship with Him because of your sins. Your sins can be eradicated. Your sins can be removed. Your sins can be torn apart from you as far as the east is from the west by the name, reputation, identity, accomplishments, and rights of Jesus. That precious name can take you to heaven. That calling upon that name can remove your sins. That name can save you. Today, the most important response of any commandment from God is to call upon the name of the Lord. But there are some that are here that are Christians. And if they're like me, I've been studying with us all week. I must say that I've been chastised a bit by this passage. I mean, I know the Ten Commandments. I am, after all, a professional Ten Commandment person. You pay me to look at stuff like this. And I know what my mama said, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. But I always knew they could harm me. And they did harm me. Let me just tell you, my brothers, solemnly, sticks and stones might break your bones, but words can harm you. Even your own words can harm you. Let us commit our hearts because we love Jesus and because we're forgiven of this and myriads of sin to have wonder and awe at the precious name of God. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we ask you that you would teach us how to hold sacred and precious those things that you hold sacred and precious. Help us to delight in the hearing of words, especially the words that are precious and sacred to you. Even your own name, even the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.